People can be suspicious of end-of-life care, especially hospice. There's a perception that when hospice comes in, it's only for the last hours before someone dies. In the final story of the series about aging in Appalachia, Carol Lofton found that for some families, hospice services can not only help the dying live, but ease the caregiving burden on those families for weeks or months.
Hollywood tells us that love stories are about the beginning, catching an eye across a crowded room, a first date, a dramatic proposal. We see little, if anything, after the fairy tale wedding. But for many, the greatest testament to love is not in the first moments, but the last. Sheila and Waitman Brown were married for 50 years. They were high school sweethearts and raised two children in rural Wyoming County in southern West Virginia.
He was a coal miner, and then we got married in 67. I graduated high school in 68. And then I got pregnant with my son in latter part of 68, and he was shipped to Vietnam.
There, Waitman was exposed to Agent Orange. Combined with later years in the coal mines, Waitman struggled with his health. He had cancer three times during the course of his life. The last time, he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer.
And then I would walk him down the stairs and put him in the shower, and I'd have to get in the shower with him and shower, you know, bathe him and stuff. I'd get him out and set him on the commode, and time I got done drying him off, I was wore plumb out. And I stayed real tired all the time. And they said, well, this is what hospice is for. Said hospice will help you with all this stuff.
They decided to try treatment, which the doctors told them would not cure the cancer, only prolong his life. He couldn't keep it up, so someone at the hospital recommended hospice. Sheila was pretty resistant at first. She says she was scared because she had been told that when hospice comes, you only have a few days left. And hospice doesn't always have the best reputation. A 2017 joint investigation between Time Magazine and Kaiser Health News found over 3,000 complaints that had been filed against the nation's 4,000 hospice organizations over a five-year period. The complaints referenced everything from hospice workers failing to show up to unreturned phone calls and broken hospital beds. Medicare now has a link on its website from which you can compare hospice agencies in your area. Most, like the ones that serve the Browns, are nonprofits and rate well. And most people, like the Browns, have a good experience. In fact, hospice worked with her family for almost a year.
Well, it helped my husband what time he had left when he felt good.
Landon Blankenship is the chief nursing officer of Hospice of Southern West Virginia, the agency that worked with Sheila and Waitman. He says from his perspective, the point of hospice is exactly the benefit that Sheila described.
Our goal is to make the last days the best days. A lot of people think hospice is for the dying. We tend to think hospice is for the living.
Blankenship says when hospice comes in, their goal is to help the patient live their last days with no pain, to be able to breathe freely, to accomplish that last bucket list item, attend their daughter's wedding, go to the family reunion, make one more birthday. Yet, in southern West Virginia, he says, there are a couple hurdles for getting people to use it in the first place.
Well, we take care of our own. Getting in the home is the problem. Once you're in, you're treated like family. So it's just breaking through that, you know, that barrier there to actually have someone to accept you into their home.
This is a perception he thinks starts with late referrals from medical providers.
A lot of physicians hesitant to make referrals earlier on. Our rule of thumb is if you have a patient and you think that there's a possibility that they could pass within the next year, and we see those patients all the time, that's probably an appropriate time to go ahead and make a hospice referral.
Yet doctors are taught to treat and often try and save the patient no matter the cost, which Blankenship thinks is the wrong tactic.
I don't think there's a lot of reframing of goals. Everybody wants hope. Everybody wants that next best treatment. Everybody thinks that it's in that next chemo, or it's in that next pill, or it's in this next surgery. The unfortunate thing is sometimes there is no hope in another treatment. So we need to get to the point, in my opinion, that we do a better job in the medical community of reframing our goals.
Which may mean teaching medical providers to sit down with patients and their families and truly talk through what their goals are for the next phase. For Waitman Brown, that was getting to his 71st birthday, which he did. Sheila threw him a huge party, and the community, including one of the hospice nurses on her day off, turned out to celebrate his life.
And it was snowing that day, but my house was packed out full. I mean, we had him a big birthday party, and he was tickled to death, but he didn't have enough oxygen to hardly blow his candles out.
2 months later, he was moved to the Bowers Hospice House in Beckley, where he could receive even more intensive care. He passed away shortly thereafter. Blankenship continues to check on Sheila periodically. She's got health problems of her own, and her son moved her from Wyoming County to just outside Charleston to be closer to him and her doctors. But she says when her time comes, she won't have any problem with using hospice herself. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health and Charleston Area Medical Center.